It's time for Speak Out 2.0, a locally produced community affairs program for tri-state residents. From Kingman to Bullhead City, Laughlin to Needles and Lake Havasu City, to all the towns in between. Speak Out 2.0 features guests and topics covering politics, nonprofits, entertainment, and information on local events. Speak Out 2.0 is all about you, the KNTR Talk listener. Call in during the show, 702-298-1063. That's 702-298-1063. So turn up the radio. It's time for your host, Larry Tuneforce.
And a very good afternoon to you. It is September 11th. This is Speak Out 2.0 live from the Laughlin Mall. And the program every day is brought to you by Perkins Family Restaurant, Legacy Rehab and Care Center, Bullhead Vape, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Barron's Pest Solutions, Martin Swanee Hyundai and Kingman, Atco Transmission and Auto Repair, Grand Liquidations, The Caring Crew, and Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. And today on the show, in honor of September 11th, we have with us two professionals in Bullhead City. We have Assistant Chief Scott Neal with the Bullhead City Fire Department, and we have Sergeant Scott Gilman with the Bullhead City Police Department. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you, Larry.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
And the sergeant's been on before talking about distracted driving.
Yeah, yes.
I'm trying to get the word out. But on September 11th, I can go back, and I was a member of Bullhead Fire at the time. I was in Phoenix at a conference, and we were just getting ready to start the conference the next day. And a bunch of us, and Jesse Sessions was there with us, and we had set everything up. And the next morning was September 11th, and then all of a sudden we had speakers that couldn't fly in, and we had people that couldn't get there. We are also quickly trying to figure out how people could get home because all of a sudden all the airports were shut down in the United States. How did you find it, Chief Neal, in where were you working at the time?
Well, I was working in the Metro Detroit area at a department called the Westland Fire Department. I was a captain. I was off duty that day. I wasn't on shift. And I was in a meeting where there was no radio or TV until after the event happened. And then I went to, with the person I was with, I went to lunch and we walked in the restaurant and saw on the TV where all this had transpired while we were kind of sequestered in this meeting. And obviously watched it played out for several hours. We just sat there and watched.
Yeah.
We're in a total shock as to how it went down, and it was waiting then to hear what level of need our profession was going to have locally and nationally.
Right. And Sergeant, where were you at the time?
I was also off shift. I was at home, and quite frankly, I don't remember what shift I was working or assigned to at that time, but I remember waking up that morning, turning on the television set, and I thought I was watching a movie. It didn't seem real. It seemed like I haven't seen this movie before. Is this, and then, of course, the phone was ringing, and people were sharing what was happening, and I was watching it as it was happening on TV, and I was waiting to hear from my colleagues at work what was going to be needed or expected of me from that point forward. I was at home at the moment at that particular time.
Yeah, because your agencies are hit immediately, not maybe where you were at, but your professions, I should say, were hit immediately with people being called there and rushing there and wanting to, it's ingrained in you. You want to go and you want to help. You want to solve it. You want to get people out and do what you can do. How did you find at your agency, Chief Neal, the moods and whatnot the next few days?
Oh, it was to a man. Everybody wanted to immediately get in their car and drive to New York City.
Right.
It's exactly the sentiment of everyone that not only I worked with, but all of our colleagues in other departments around us in Detroit. That was the desire. Now, we all had to take a step back and say to ourselves, well, we don't even know what we'd be doing once we got there. But at the time, there was no way to organize a large group of public safety people coming from all over the country. And that's what we found happening at 9/11. When, in fact, a lot of those folks showed up unannounced or self-dispatched, there was no organizational tool to put them all together. And that did cause some problems initially for the responders that were on the site for several days. They had to figure out how to organize. And we did, in fact, send some folks there, and they spent a good part of a week or so, maybe 10 days, working in and around the site. And they reported back when they got back how chaotic it was, how disorganized it was, but how they felt like they made a difference. That one person out of thousands right. made a difference. And so it was a very interesting debrief when they got back.
What was the sentiment of Bullhead PD and emotions and whatnot?
Well, emotions were very mixed, and I would describe it most in a sense of going through all the different stages of grief. You know, you go through the stages of sorrow to anger to, you know, just a mixture of emotions that, you know, you see your brothers, you know, firemen, police officers that are going through what they're going through, and you want to be there in some way to help and support them. Of course, they're on the other side of the country, and we have our responsibilities here in our city to
right.
to protect our community. And at that time, things were evolving very rapidly in the sense of we knew that some planes hit the towers, that it was a possible terrorist attack. We knew that we began to learn that other installations in the United States were being targeted. You had several different planes that were unaccounted for. You had one, we know now that one plane went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, that was
right.
targeted to hit another governmental institution.
Right.
So our response immediately was concern for our dam and whether or not, you know, our dam here, Davis Dam, was going to be a potential target. And then concern about, you know, the Hoover Dam.
Right.
And there was some discussion about that. And, you know, we were, you know, it became a situation where we had to be concerned about those things. And shortly thereafter, you know, back at that time frame, if you remember, you can drive across Davis Dam.
Yes.
That's no longer
and Hoover Dam.
That's no
yeah.
longer a reality.
Right.
And that my memory of that is that was very much instantaneous. They
yeah.
put barricades up, and then we started doing security details, and to this day we're very concerned, and we have partners
right.
in the federal government and local agencies where we're constantly evaluating our security and our protocols at the dam. And then we were worried about our water,
right.
Our water towers and the installations there. We were doing security details in and around there, which we continually evaluate. So those were things that we weren't as concentrated on.
Right.
But 9/11 changed all that.
On the 10th.
And then, of course, our airport, our local airport, Laughlin International Airport, we didn't have any details where we were doing security for the airports or being involved with the flights. And now, since that time, we have details. Anytime flights are scheduled in or out of that airport, we have officers there for
right.
that. So that was a big change, you know. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So now let me take a break. And when we come back, I'd like to hear more about how your agencies have changed. I mean, we just talked a little bit about that, but a lot changed since then. And like you were talking, Chief Neal, about communication. So,
okay.
Grand Liquidations is open to save you money. You save up to 50% and more on everything in the store. Overstocked quality merchandise, furniture, snack foods, toys, bedding, tools, different size barbecues, floor appliances and countertop appliances, plumbing supplies, and more. Stop in today. See the wide selection. You'll be shocked at how much you save throughout the store. Grand Liquidations, 2561 Highway 95 in Bullhead City, squeezed in between Circle K and Ford.
Not too many people are fans of bed bugs, termites, spiders, or scorpions. Homeowners that see them call Barron Pest Solutions. With over 50 years' experience, Barron Pest Solutions are the professionals when it comes to pest removal and preventing them from returning. If you have critters around your home that you want gone, call Barron at 758-5499. Monthly services are available, even for the winter visitors. Barron Pest Solutions. Quality, experience, family.
The Legacy Rehab and Care Center in Bullhead City is a 4-star skilled nursing facility designed to help patients with their long and short-term skilled nursing needs. Legacy prides itself on its attention to details and individualized care. Stop by and see for yourself. Legacy is under new management and is locally owned and operated. The Legacy Rehab and Care Center, 2812 Silver Creek Road, or call 763-1404. Don't miss a beat. Get back on your feet with Legacy Rehab.
Mojave Electric's Operation Cool Shade program is back to help you save money on your electric bill by planting shade trees on the southeast and west side of your home. Four types of trees will be available to order September 11th through the 24th at the MEC Member Services Office at 928 Hancock Road. Purchase trees from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. while supplies last. Each tree purchase comes with a free LED light bulb. Limit four trees per member, first come, first serve. Visit MojaveElectric.com or stop by our Member Services Office for details. MEC is an equal opportunity employer and provider.
Nowadays, honest mechanics are a rare commodity. ATCO Transmission and Auto Repair is a family-owned and operated shop where the guys truly care about getting you back on the road. Look no further than their customer reviews. ATCO Auto offers AC service for $19.91 plus Freon. Brake jobs only $139.95 and tranny service now only $99. When you need the best auto repair, brakes, or air conditioning service for your car or truck, call on ATCO Auto Repair in Bullhead City, 928-444-1155.
We're back on Speak Out 2.0. I'm Larry Toonforce, live from the Laughlin Mall. Every day our program is brought to you by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, The Caring Crew, Grand Liquidations, ATCO Transmission and Auto Repair, Martin Swanee Hyundai and Kingman, Barron's Pest Solutions, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bullhead Vape, Legacy Rehab and Care Center, and Perkins Family Restaurant. And today is September 11th, so we're visiting with Assistant Chief Scott Neal from the Bullhead City Fire Department and Sergeant Scott Gilman from the Bullhead City Police Department. And we talked a little bit about that day of September 11, 2001. But in each one of your agencies, and Scott, the sergeant talked a little bit about it, like our dam. You can no longer drive across, you know, Davis Dam. You can still tour it, but you can't drive across it. And in those days, we did all the time. And, of course, go back prior to the Laughlin Bridge, that was the only way to get around the river. What else in your agency has been changed, improved since September 11, 2001?
Well, at that time, we had an incident command system in place, and we've always followed that model, but it became much more of a priority to understand how
right.
to institute an incident command system and actually follow it. And then communications changed greatly because what was learned from 9/11 is that there was multiple agencies that were involved in the life-saving efforts and the emergency response to 9/11. And none of them, they were all failing in the communication department. They didn't
right.
know each other's codes. They didn't have similar radio channels, and the list goes on and on. So from that incident, you know, agencies across the United States learned that, you know, we need to change the way we do business. You know, the way that we speak on the radio now is very much plain language,
right?
So that everybody can understand what we're saying. We have gone away from the days of using radio codes and, right. and things like that. Occasionally happens. Older, you know, older officers, including myself, sometimes, you know, you find yourself reverting back to right. that stuff, but it's not. It's discouraged. You know, plain language is the best practice, and you know, we have all the radio channels in to our fingertips now, whereas before there was less of that.
Right.
You know, we have direct radio communication with Metro and Bullhead Fire and Maumee County Sheriff's Office and DPS and you know, all the local agencies. So it's improved in that regard.
Right.
So there's been a lot of very good things, and sad to say, you know, but a lot of very good things have come out of that
right.
tragedy from a law enforcement perspective.
Improvements, yeah.
Yeah, improvements.
Yep. And then the regatta allowed you to really put that incident action plan into place.
Yeah, our chief was, you know, he has a incident, I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but it's an incident management type
template.
Background.
Right.
He has a formal education in that regard, and he's been instrumental in developing and then instituting the incident command system so that it works very, it worked very well with regatta.
Right.
Exactly. In putting together different plans and organizing, you know, with different agencies and whatnot. So it's been huge.
Right. Now the fire service has used the incident action plan for years. And I mean, even locally here, when a battalion chief rolls on a call, the first thing he says is, "I'm on scene and assuming command."
Right.
You know, and so, but how else did things improve in your agency?
Well,
for the fire service,
the incident command system is old. It's been around since the late '60s, developed by the Wildland Group in California originally, and then expanded to all fire departments in the country, and eventually law enforcement embraced it as well. But think about this, Larry. On 9/11, even if law enforcement and fire had that stuff dialed in to a T, who didn't have it dialed in? Any civilian that showed up, and there were many of them,
true.
Right? Doctors, backhoe workers, welders, millwrights, all these people show up to help disassemble the pile and go after viable victims and
right.
whatever. There was zero knowledge by that group of people on what to do, right? Who to report to, how to organize. So shortly after 9/11, NIMS was developed by the federal government, part of the National Response Plan. And it was a program that's designed to put, as Sergeant Gilman explained, all of this stuff in plain language. So
right.
any person that's part of the NIMS system could understand what they're hearing.
Right.
So at that time, right around 2003 or 4, the curriculum was developed by the federal government. Everybody in my agency at the time had to go through it. It was mandatory, and as most federal programs are, it's pretty dry and it was
yep.
pretty boring because we already knew most of what was going on there. But it was our job at the time, at least from our fire chief's perspective, to get other people in our municipal government into NIMS.
Right.
The mayor, the city council members, the DPS people, the mechanics that work for the Department
right.
of Public Works, all those people had to go through these programs, and so we had to facilitate that. And it was tough because they weren't used to it. So, you know, since that time, it's become more mainstream, and the program still exists today. In fact, every firefighter in our agency has to have NIMS and does.
Right.
And there are certain requirements for advanced NIMS for promotional reasons. So NIMS 300, 400, those are several day classes. They're not just online. You have to
right.
go to a site and sit through the class and do participatory exercises with everybody else in the class, which are the civilians.
Right. And you had a board chair, a board member, Chuck Moore, that taught those classes.
Right.
And everybody through Bullhead Fire went through them also.
Correct.
At the same time. Well, in the last 15 years or so.
So that was an improvement, and now it's just part of the fabric of our business model. Everybody does it, and there's firefighters that come in today don't know any different because
right.
they haven't seen the old way, which was more disorganized back before 9/11.
Right.
So,
and I think you had Steve Harris for a while, who was the incident emergency manager for the city, and I think at the time he put all the city staff through the 300 and 400 classes.
That's, yeah, I do remember Steve, and he that was the word that I was looking for, is emergency management.
Right.
So he was doing that, and then when he left, Chief Williamson became the emergency manager, right, in which he, to my understanding, still is today.
Yeah.
And then that's where his background is. So thank you for that terminology there. But, yeah, so we, from our perspective, we saw early in my career, and I've been on 23 years, but early in my career, we saw the fire department actually using ICS,
right,
more so than we did, from the battalion chief to, you know, line personnel. We saw them actually utilizing ICS much more than we did. We are very, very proficient at it now, even at the most low level of call.
Right.
You know, we have the officers doing it on a day-to-day basis, where you have a much more greater understanding on the radio when they're doing it.
Right.
So it's been a good and positive thing.
Good. Okay. Chief Neal, any final thoughts?
Well, just a couple other notes that I thought were worthy of speaking on. Some other things that came after 9/11 that are still in use today. One of them is CERT. You know, CERT,
right,
CERT was born January 29th of 2002. Okay. President Bush, after seeing the waves of civilians that came to the 9/11 site, he said, look, why don't we put a program in motion so that civilians in all communities have a place to go to give their of themselves. In fact, he even said every American should give 2 years of donated time to their community,
right,
in their lifetime sometime. So CERT was born to do that. Now, we've developed CERT in 2010 in Bullhead City, and the program's been active since then. But that gives 20 to 25 citizens of this community an immediate impact on public safety events for police, fire, and anybody else that needs their assistance. It's organized. They know their role. They understand the logistics of what they're doing. And it makes everything better for us, especially in the summer.
And CERT stands for?
The Community Emergency Response Team.
Right.
It's a group of civilians that meet with the fire marshal. Jim Dykens runs that program right now, and they meet with him for training and supplies. And, you know, they have access to our fire stations to get things and bring them to us when we need them.
Good.
The one other thing I thought was interesting is the amount of extra knowledge that the fire services gained post 9/11. For example, you remember shortly after 9/11, we had a bunch of anthrax scares,
yes,
right? And there were also other things attached to that. There were bomb threats and radiological, you know, dirty bombs were talked about. Well, right, this whole curriculum and grant funding program was embedded in the fire service for the next 10 years.
Okay.
And so a lot of our people have this very specialized knowledge, which still exists today.
Right.
So it's very useful for things that are abnormal.
Right.
Yeah.
Sergeant, any final thoughts?
No, I just maybe to expound on what he's talking about with getting the community involved in this incident command process and CERT and things like that. Not to bring up another tragedy, but when we had the incident with Bella,
right?
The tragedy with Bella, we had an overwhelming response from the community wanting to help with some of the initial search efforts.
And a little autistic boy about a year ago.
And even that's yeah, another example. Well, you know, in those types of situations, you know, people want to help.
Right.
And we don't want them to just go off on their own and just start doing things.
Yeah.
And what ICS does and what programs like CERT do is it gives people in the community a resource to call, so that we can appropriately manage,
right,
those community members. Because in situations like those, you know, the more people, the more eyes, the more feet to the ground are a good thing for us. But we have to do it in an organized and orderly,
right,
fashion. We just can't have people all over the place going,
exactly,
you know. So it's that's how it helps. That's how it helps us. So
okay. And if you're listening and you're in Bullhead City or Fort Mojave, Mojave Valley, and you want to volunteer, contact Chief Neal at Bullhead City Fire at 758-3971, and contact the Sergeant at the Bullhead City Police Department 763-9200. Gentlemen, thank you both very much.
Thank you, Larry.
Vaping eliminated Tim's 40-year smoking habit, and with his wife, Cody, they're letting our community know vaping works and changes lives. Bullhead Vape is a friendly and comfortable environment where you're taken care of, and they know just how to get you set up and going. Bullhead Vape Shop hosts an unparalleled selection of e-liquid, incredible hardware, customer loyalty punch card, and daily specials. Two awesome locations open between, well, let's say between 10-ish and 7-ish. Across from Maverick on the 95 in Fort Mojave, and across from Coyote Cafe on the 95 Bullhead City.
WARMC is listening to our community. Hello, I'm Dr. Nathan Weaver with Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. WARMC heard the call for orthopedic surgeons and has created a team of bone and joint specialists. As part of this team, I can help you with your joint pain at Western Arizona Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. WARMC is bringing more doctors to serve you locally and keep you close to home. Call us at 763-2273. 763-CARE, and we do at WARMC.
Welcome back to Perkins. What are we thinking?
Well, this new pot roast menu has me thinking about my mom's pot roast.
Honey, fancy meeting you here.
Weird. It has me imagining her, too.
I think that's really her.
Think she's following me?
Enjoy the taste of your home at our home. Introducing Perkins' new pot roast menu featuring pot roast stroganoff, fajita breakfast quesadilla, and more. Starting at $8.99. It's the new pot roast menu for a limited time only at Perkins.
Recently, the guy from AdsPay asked me to explain to business owners how to grow your brand. Well, I don't know how AdsPay could afford to recruit me, but we both knew that running a profitable business is not easy. But did you know that AdsPay showed me that 80% of buyers buy from companies who are already in their minds? So my question is, how do we get your business into their minds? For 20 years, AdsPay has mailed over 10 million magazines, now runs massive social media promotions, plus an insane number of ads on local radio at no extra cost to you. You're listening to radio now, and I don't come cheap. They're original, innovative, and have given back over $300,000 in hard cash to over 300 lucky users. So my next question is, why would anyone not look to AdsPay for the best savings, period? So why would you go anywhere else to grow your brand? Come on, it's AdsPay USA, AdsPay USA, AdsPay USA, and so on and so forth.
This is Speak Out 2.0. We're back on the air in Laughlin, Nevada, and the show every day is brought to you by Perkins Family Restaurant in Bullhead City, Legacy Rehab and Care Center up on Silver Creek Road, Bullhead Vape, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Barron's Pest Solutions, Martin Swanee Hyundai and Kingman, Atco Transmission and Auto Repair, Grand Liquidations, The Caring Crew, and Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. And now, we've changed things just a tad. The sergeant and the assistant chief have left. And I brought in now Pastor Tom Heflin with Faith Fellowship Community Church and Pastor Rob Walker. And I didn't get the name of your church.
First Baptist Church, 1700 Palmer Road.
Okay. All right. So you guys are side by side, actually.
We are.
Churches. Yeah.
Yeah. And right now you are, too. Yeah. So pastors played a big role with September 11th. And I got to fix that right now. And so, Tom, you were at Riviera Baptist at the time. How does it respond to your phone when your pastor, your parish is calling you saying, "What's going on?"
I'll never forget the day we were doing some remodeling at that time, and somebody came up to me and told me that. One of the twin, that's all we knew at that time, is one of the twin towers had been hit. And the person had a background that I won't go into that I questioned that because that was such a hit. I went home and as everybody, we all sat in front of our TV sets, right. And we all sat there and cried.
Yeah.
Because we realized that our lives would never be the same after what has just happened in our country.
Exactly. And was your phone ringing from...
No, I think that the main thing...
Are people coming by and...
Well, the thing is, you got to realize that's back in 2001, and so people didn't have cell phones.
Right.
So basically, everything was word of mouth. And so everybody was... we were getting calls in the office and different things like that. But everybody was immediately, you know, calling people on their phones and letting people know that it was just a shock.
Yeah. Yeah, I had lost my dad the year before, and I thought to myself more than once, what would my dad be thinking if he was here right now? You know, we've been hit by a foreign country in our own country. And because my dad was in World War II, and he was in Korean. And, you know, he didn't talk a whole lot about it, but he was proud that he was a veteran and served. And it was interesting because I eventually had his Luger re-blued. And the gentleman who did it for me here in town said to me, this was not your father's Luger from World War II. This was your grandfather's Luger from World War I. And it was common that in World War II, people showed up with guys showed up with their dad's gun and said, I'm here to fight. I want to join the Army. And so I have his pistol, and now to know that it was also his father's pistol in World War I, it's amazing. But
I think, Larry, the main thing that we felt as pastors, and I'm going to give Roy time to respond to that most of all, too, but I would just say one short thing. I said it to the congregation. I've repeated that numbers of times. I knew that after 9/11, the days of Mayberry are over. Yeah. I said that sarcastically because there was a days where, you know, in the days of Mayberry, everybody got along. In seminary, we'd never even heard the word terrorist before.
Right.
So you see, all of a sudden I realized the days of Mayberry are over and all the people are going to be on edge. Our country is going to be facing things. And so as captains of the ship, we're going to be navigating through some very difficult waters. And we've been navigating through that ever since. How do we not pretend like we're in Mayberry?
Right.
And people get a false sense of reality, or you get people so paranoid. So we're trying to find that balance of how are we going to not be the Titanic, and how are we going to avoid all these icebergs out there? We're going to have to slow down. We're going to have a lot of. So it's changed our message to a world that's filled, and even more so. How do you encourage people? How do you teach love in the midst of hate? How do you have peace in the midst of war? How do you this? It has really put us into some real stretching times.
Right.
And we could go further with that, but I'll just say that I think everybody listening realizes, too, that we're really trying to equip ourselves for what we're facing in our times that we live, which right. is difficult.
Pastor Roy, how did you find September 11th, the actual day?
I was out of the country at the time. I was actually in Ecuador. But what I found, you have a lot of expats there, expatriates, Americans. And the biggest thing was shock. I mean, and a lot of parallels drawn between December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor.
Right.
And that.
Right.
And but everybody wanted to pull together and pray and try to help. And we tend to do that in a catastrophe only.
Yeah.
And so as pastors, we often pose the question, why can't we do it every day?
And we hear that from our leaders, you know.
Why can't we do it every day?
Right.
And, you know, you just had these tremendous hurricanes down in the Bahamas. Everybody wants to pull together and help. I've lived through hurricanes on the East Coast, and I can tell you everybody pulls together. After that's over with, you lose that. We talk about how many people came into the churches. The church walls were expanding.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, over a period of time, I don't want to say they get lulled into that false sense of security, although that's part of it. I want to say that it loses its timelessness.
Right.
It's not a timely message.
The impact isn't there.
Exactly. And they drift away. And I just, you know, I've often wondered why and asked why, and I guess we'll never be able to figure that out. God has that understanding, and we don't. But why can't we pull together every day the way that, you know, and forget these little differences that we have?
Yeah.
It's more important to help each other.
Interesting. And as Tom alluded to a little bit there, we're still finding an unstable community. When we see the mass shootings, we've seen churches that have had shootings, and that hits home for both of you. you know, and all of a sudden you think, wow, will someone come into my church in Bullhead City and shoot it, you know? And so, again, you probably have people coming to you and saying, am I safe in my church? You know, when I come here on a Sunday or a nightly meeting or whenever, how safe am I in this building? Because there's people out there that don't recognize organized religion or want to do harm to those who do.
Well, I personally, if I can speak first on this, Tom, I personally advise non-government organizations and humanitarian organizations around the world on security measures because of my time in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
And I can tell you that once that dynamic changed away from Mayberry, if you will, it continues to evolve and change because we are of the mentality we're not safe anymore. Now, one of the things as pastors that we must do is tell people the human form is a shell. It's been, you know, made for a journey so that your soul will go on. If God has you, He has you. But you have those human concerns that you must ally also, whatever. And the way you do that, or whatever, quite frankly, is to tell people to get involved. Tell people to be situationally aware. Tell people to understand that if we put a constraint to say, you know, we don't want backpacks in the sanctuary, we have a place where we want them put, we do that for a reason because we must try to do everything we can to protect individuals. And ultimately, it's God's, you know, God's care and God's knowledge that's imparted upon us,
right,
that helps us to do this. But we have to, quite frankly, use common sense.
See, and you said something there about situation awareness, which to a law enforcement officer, they're thinking that every time they put that uniform on. Situation awareness. Every time they go on a call, every time they walk into a room, every time they're at lunch with the family and they're carrying a concealed weapon, you know, they have to identify. Situation awareness. The average Americans never had the thought about that. You know, it wasn't something they had to focus on or worry about. But you're right when you say that nowadays, you know, I recall there was a incident in Las Vegas at a Walmart. It might have been Henderson. And a gentleman was in there, and he was carrying a concealed weapon. And a guy walked in the front door of Walmart, and he fired about 6 shots in the air. The guy with the concealed weapon didn't shoot him. He stopped and said, drop it, you know, or he had some kind of conversation with this individual. But the individual who was shooting up in the air had his girlfriend 10 feet behind him. She shot the guy with the gun. So his situation awareness wasn't there. He didn't realize there was two, you know, and so those of us, and I have a concealed weapon permit, those of us that have concealed weapons permits need to think about situation awareness at all points in time.
Well, everybody needs to think about how often do you go in a restaurant, and if it's very, very crowded, how often do you go in there and you see the capacity sign and you figure it's within 10% of capacity and I don't want to be in here?
Yeah.
How often do you walk into a restaurant and see where all the exit signs are? Can you tell me where the fire extinguishers are? Can you tell me where the weapons of opportunity are, i.e. a salt shake or a broom handle, something like that?
Yeah.
People do not do it, and we need to start doing it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tom?
You know, one of the things I'd like to present, I think, to give a word of encouragement to our community, and since you've been a big part of this, Larry, we've known each other for years. When my wife and I moved here from Iowa, and I grew up on a farm in Kansas, pastored in Iowa for 7 years, I'm used to community. And when we moved here in 1990, someone said, describe Bullhead City to me. And I said, well, it reminds me of somebody dropping a rock on an anthill.
Yeah.
It did. Mm-hmm. Because when you come from Iowa, you realize they did everything together, the church people. They even had weekend campouts. Everybody's clustered. Like if you got one person mad, there are 10 people in that group, you better just go call the whole group because you know every one of them in that group.
Show up.
So you have this community sense, and we moved here, and I'm going somewhere with this. As I've lived here 27 years, one of the things that just continually touches my heart, and I'm so grateful for it, because we here have all been committed to community building, mm-hmm. building our community. And I remember when you guys, remember years ago, you had that first walk over at the school.
Right.
And remember you had 300 people show up.
Walk away from drugs?
Yes. Yeah. Well, either that or it was a cancer walk or one of the things that you did years ago. And I'm just saying, I think through the years, what we've seen is we've seen God bring in, there's such a shortage of leadership. And I think God has brought some great people into this community to help make this a better community. I think we begin to see people building relationships with each other because you have a lot of long rangers and you have a lot of mavericks. You have a lot of people that are hurt, and so they built walls not only around their house but around their lives. And I've seen people with those who are with the Boys and Girls Clubs, with the churches that are growing. I mean, the churches were struggling in the early 90s, a lot of us, and the churches really grew, got youth pastors, many different things happened. And we see how all the organizations, and we see so many people getting involved in the community. And I think it's a real, I think one of the things that helps us is in the midst of so much difficulty to be able to have friendships. I think some of us who've known each other, my sister who's traveled all over the world, they're world travelers. And one time she was visiting us and she said, we were sitting on the couch. She said, "So what do you got in Bullhead City?" And my answer to her is each other.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, we don't have all these places they've been.
Right.
We don't have all the sites around. And so when we realize what do we have, and I think my big word is the fact that, you know, we look at the friendships that we have built in this city over the years. And so we, so what we're saying is we're trying to build community and have a sense of, we always tease, the only normal we have is on the washing machine. But I think on the other hand, we're trying to say that we're trying to develop in the midst of a world of conflict. We're trying to build a sense of friendship, a sense of community, a sense of belonging, a sense of care. I work with hospice almost 6 years, and I saw so many people reaching out to hurting people.
Right.
And so in the midst of this crazy world, we really need to develop community and watch each other's back, care for each other. We have neighbors helping each other if somebody's going to the hospital. So my answer is, in the midst of a tough world, well, we still have to press on and really work together on relationships and community.
Right. Thank you. Roy, give us information how to get a hold of you, when your services are, where your church is, because we're just about out of time.
First Baptist Church, we're located at 1700 Palmer Road. We're on the internet at firstbaptistchurch.com. We have Wednesday night Bible study at 6 o'clock tonight. We have a Thursday morning ladies get together, where the guys actually clean the church, by the way. And that's at 9:30 a.m. And we have our Sunday service starts at 10 o'clock, and the preaching starts at 11.
Okay. All right. Pastor Tom?
We're right next door.
Yeah.
And
a little smaller.
Yeah, we are. And we're just a strong family. We're Faith Fellowship. We started with a handful of people, and we have a lot of unity. I'm a Bible teacher, and so we're just really in the Word. People are growing and building relationships. And we start at 10 on Sunday, and then we have a Wednesday night discipleship group, and we have some other things I won't go into right now. But anyway, we're reaching out and enjoying the fellowship that we have with people.
And both of you, your doors are open if somebody wants to come in and talk, or somebody wants to.
Well, they need to call us because some of us, our offices are at home.
Well, okay, but yeah, your church doors are open if people want to come to a service.
Oh, absolutely.
If they want to come in and visit with one of you, they can come in and on a Sunday, best time to get a hold of you, and set up a time, and or join the church.
Yeah.
Right.
God's house.
Yes.
Always open.
Gentlemen, thank you both for coming in.
Thank you, Larry. You both
present a different perspective on a day that was tragic, but a day that we all have to survive and move forward. So thank you both.
Amen.
Thank you.
There is a unique opportunity for you right now at Martin Swanee Hyundai in Kingman. It is the perfect time to purchase a new 2019 Santa Fe or Tucson with 0% interest in payments for 72 months. Plus, they come with America's best 100,000-mile warranty, 0% interest, and a 100,000-mile warranty. Awesome! Ask about the third row larger Palisade. See the SUV selection at Martin Swanee Hyundai, Stockton Hill Road, Kingman, or see martinswanneehyundai.com.
Nasty bugs in your home or business? No fun. Barren Pest Solutions can solve your problem. Pet-friendly treatment that turns bugs, termites, spiders, and scorpions away from your home or business. The last thing you want is visitors or customers seeing something crawling across your floor. Call Barren Pest Solutions today. Bugs gone tomorrow. How simple is that? Call 758-5499. Barren Pest Solutions, solving your bug problems. Barren Pest Solutions, quality, experience, family.
Let's face it, weekly shopping in Laughlin isn't exactly a breeze. Thankfully, the solution to your aches and pains has arrived. The Caring Crew. Specializing in delivery and home care, the Caring Crew is dedicated to accomplishing the everyday tasks you can't live without. Grocery runs, medicine pickup, mail pickup, doctor visits, even light work around the house, all on a monthly basis. Enjoy retirement. The crew will take care of the rest. The Caring Crew. Now serving the Laughlin area. Give them a call. 515-205-8635.
Nowadays, honest mechanics are a rare commodity. ATCO Transmission and Auto Repair is a family-owned and operated shop where the guys truly care about getting you back on the road. Look no further than their customer reviews. ATCO Auto offers AC service for $19.91 plus Freon. Brake jobs only $139.95. And tranny service now only $99. When you need the best auto repair, brakes, or air conditioning service for your car or truck, call on ATCO Auto Repair in Bullhead City, 928-444-1155.
The Hobby Electric's Operation Cool Shade program is back to help you save money on your electric bill by planting shade trees on the south, east, and west side of your home. Four types of trees will be available to order September 11th through the 24th at the MEC Member Services Office at 928 Hancock Road. Purchase trees from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. while supplies last. Each tree purchase comes with a free LED light bulb. Limit four trees per member, first come, first serve. Visit MojaveElectric.com or stop by our Member Services Office for details. MEC is an equal opportunity employer and provider.
Welcome back to Perkins. What are we thinking?
Well, this new pot roast menu has me thinking about my mom's pot roast.
Honey, fancy meeting you here.
Weird. It has me imagining her, too.
I think that's really her.
Think she's following me?
Enjoy the taste of your home at our home. Introducing Perkins' new pot roast menu featuring pot roast stroganoff, fajita breakfast quesadilla, and more. Starting at $8.99. It's the new pot roast menu for a limited time only at Perkins.
We are back on September 11th on Speak Out 2.0. I'm Larry Toonforce, your host, and the show every weekday, of course, is brought to you by Perkins Family Restaurant. Met my wife there for dinner last night when she got off work. And you can have breakfast, lunch, or dinner there, and then they've got pies and muffins and cookies and brownies that you can take home to your family. Legacy Rehab and Care Center in Bullhead City. Physical therapy, occupational and speech therapy, if you might need some assistance in those areas, if someone's had an illness or been in a crash or possibly might need some rehab, you can go right there into Legacy Rehab. Or they have a skilled nursing facility also there if someone needs that facility. So they suggest to stop by and take a tour, and then you know what it's all about if you ever need it. Bullhead Vape in Bullhead City, of course, they open their doors so that you can close the doors to smoking cigarettes. They have 160 different quality liquids, and they have all the hardware that goes with it. And they're on Highway 95 right across the street from Coyote Cafe in Bullhead City. Mojave Electric Cooperative, it's cool shade time right now. Starting today through the 24th, you can go into their offices on Hancock Road and order your trees. They're $9 a piece. They have, I think, six different trees. And then you pick them up at the city complex on the 9th of September of November. Barron's Pest Solutions, they'll take care of your bugs and your spiders and your scorpions, your termites, your bees. And if you have those at your house and you want to get rid of them, you call Barron's and they'll come take care of them for you. Martin Swanee Hyundai in Kingman. I was just in Kingman yesterday. They've got all kinds of cars on the lot. You can test drive anything there. It's not a high-pressure lot. You go in and talk to Nick. He's the sales manager there. And you can even sit down and order a brand-new Hyundai if you like. And check out that Palisade when you're there. At Co Transmission and Auto Repair, we had Joe on the show recently. Of course, they'll take care of your transmission. It's in their name. But your air conditioning, your tune-ups, If you need brake work, oil work, you name it, they can take care of it for you. It's the two blue buildings behind Hobby Lobby on Highway 95. Grand liquidations, big box items at Bullhead City prices. They have a ton of furniture in there, appliances, bedroom sets, barbecues, toys. They even get some food in once in a while. If you haven't been in to Grand Liquidations, you need to stop by and see the selection. They're right between Circle K and the Ford dealership on Highway 95 in Bullhead City. The Caring Crew, also, they serve you in your home. They'll go grocery shopping for you. They can pick up your meds, pay your bills, do small errands, take care of your home. So if you need those type of assistance, call the Caring Crew. Western Arizona Regional Medical Center on Silver Creek Road, where they just brought in four new doctors to serve you. They've heard the needs of our community, and they're there to serve you. And then plus, they have a quick care in Fort Mojave. Questions for Warm C, call 763-CARE, 763-2273. Community calendar here for the next couple minutes. We have a Bullhead City Mixer tomorrow night. That's at JP's. A grill up in the Riverview Mall starts at 5:30. If you have any questions, call the chamber at 754-4121. There is a rock and glow party at Camp Mojave Elementary School in Fort Mojave coming up on Friday. It starts at 5:30, goes to 7:30. Any questions, call the school, Camp Mojave Elementary School. Recovery in the Park, we heard from Carol Finkenstein on Monday. That is this Saturday in Bullhead City Community Park. And it's 11 to 1, and if you have any questions, you can call Carol at 928-219-2582. And then racing is back at Mojave Valley Speedway. It kicks off this Saturday. Gates open at 6:30, and the race is at 7:30. We Care Cancer Support has another no-tap bowling fundraiser, and that's at the Riverside Casino on Sunday, the 15th. Check in at 11 a.m., and the tournament starts at noon. And if you have any questions, call Karen at 928-201-2327. And I want to thank very much Sergeant Scott Gilman with the Bullhead City Police Department, Assistant Chief Scott Neal with the Bullhead City Fire Department for coming in and, sharing their experiences from September 11th. What their agencies did at the time, what our agencies are going now. Also, thanks again to Pastor Tom Heflin and Pastor Roy Walker for coming in and talking a little bit about their churches and, what was going on and the mindset of the American public at the time. And we thank you for tuning in today. This has been Speak Out 2.0. Tomorrow we have on the show Judge Preris. He's with the Veterans Court in Bullhead City, and also Marcella Scott. She's with the Laughlin Writers Group, and they'll be here tomorrow. Friday, we end up with Ajaz from the Watchman in the Riverside, and Mijung Lomboria, yeah, with Horizon Community Bank. And those are our guests for the rest of the week. You have a pleasant day. Think about those people that we lost today that were just innocently went to work, or those, you know, firefighters and police officers that rushed into those buildings to help people, not expecting them to come down on top of them. Everyone have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.